did not grow a blessing to be here. Now, this morning's lessons have just been superb and fishy. Each one has done that, but I just still can't get over last night. Last night was a big drink of water, and I appreciate it so much. I was so down in the lessons that you brought, and really, I challenged us in the Word of God, and it's just good to be together and to try to sharpen each other's souls and to try a bit to grow, to be encouraged. It provides us, and it contents us, to be balanced in and out of the pulpit. How about that? You might realize how difficult the balance is. To balance over a lifetime. I would start much on the minor side, and even if I'm jumping a little bit, let's make it at least that's the last fashion, but think about the cowboy. To the bottom, he's resting with all his eyeballs to scare him out of bunch. The other cowboy came in and looked over at him, that bottom was chubby, and they already talked about a chubby, didn't they? And so he, the other cowboy, paid his bunch in. Finished off, looked over the other cowboy, still on his eyeballs, staring at his bunch. Finally, the other cowboy got up his car and said, "Hey, partner, if you're not going to eat that chili, what's your mind if I had it?" The old cowboy doesn't even look over. He rises up off his eyeballs, backhands his bowl of chili over to the young man, back on his eyeballs again. The young man grabs that bowl of chili and took no mercy to the end when he notices there's a mouse in the bottom of the chili. He realizes a little bit more than he can stop, and he throws the chili back up into the bowl. The little cowboy looks over and he says, "Well, that's about how far I want to take."
Individuals are so foolish. They
things of Jesus Christ. I am a man. I am one man of the world. And if the world saved me, the Lord gave me a purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I am saved for something. I am saved for good works. My purpose may not look exactly like my brother sitting to one side only or my sister sitting to the other side. But God has given every one of us abilities. He's given all of us opportunities. And if we truly are going to be that honorable vessel, it's not just that we are for a difference in the world. And we are something for the world, but it is set apart for a purpose. And then he closes the verse by saying, and that we are prepared for the big ones. But then we look at how the preparation was made. Almost as if we're backing up in time. It's almost like Paul was saying, hey, this won't last a day. And then the text says, oh, can I talk just a little bit more to you, Timothy? Young preacher, can I talk just a little bit more to you about how to prepare to be that vessel? And then notice, in 22, we have two very active words, flee and pursue. If we're going to be the vessel, in 22 is supposed to be, we must flee, therefore. Great men. I mean strong men. By that man, the sons, the relationship with God, and the ministries. Because the trouble of the Bible lesson, whether they believe that there was a shortcut in some way, that the body, the deceptive way that Satan ran to them, maybe it sounds like this, and a part of an animal rope, a preach, a study hall, a teach, a try to always have a perfect prepared, or maybe care for people, and then Satan out of them convinces you, but listen, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if you have a few vices and nobody knows about it. You're still honorable. You're still bearing a black rope over here. And isn't it interesting that Paul makes the simple play? He says it in both words, but yet from our covenant to New Testament to 2,000 years, even now, we still see. We still see the challenge of it, and we still see the downfall of it. You've got it illustrated 100 times, if not 1,000 times. Flee is the idea that the house is on fire, and I have to get out of there. That is simply dangerous and deadly if I stay here. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe? To our eyes, linger longer, man and woman, and not that much to linger, is not that big a deal. Do we really believe? Will we serve? Is not that big a deal. Do we really believe that we serve God, like someone else, that God will look at and say, son and daughter, that's lust. And God would say, flee, and would make this covenant. Would become vessels of dishonor when we fail to recognize the power God has given. I'd like to ask you to turn back to Proverbs. I'd like to test just the stand for the things very quickly. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad on this period from a satisfaction of John. There wasn't one coming, it's in the text. And if we really are going to be balanced in the pulpit, and out of the pulpit, we preach text. We don't preach our favorite parts of sexual morality. If you understand that the Bible is a waiting type of time, the waiting mind, that, for example, when the Luke chapter 5, the lips of an unborn woman dropped honey, and her mouth is smelled of an oil, what's the answer? When we look down at verse 15 to 20, the answer is to turn to our own wives and grow up a relationship. Have you thought, have you considered how many hours the average man and their woman growing in the addiction compared to the emphasis of murder and women and men in this day as itself? Whether it's man or woman, have you ever thought how many hours the average addict spends each day doing pornography? And what if instead of doing that, they decided to invest in a relationship that is God given? The manifest absence of a relationship. It's unhealthy, obviously, sexuality, because sexuality is supposed to be built completely within a relationship and expressed within the boundaries of marriage. And so here, we see Solomon, his great wisdom, to say, look, this is the kind of thing that gets off track. And then, he doesn't get into it very far until he says, what if instead you invested in what God gave you? Look at this relationship of your wife. Don't describe her as you go along with her. Now, we could look at so many more. If you want to drop down to the sixth chapter, look at the sixth chapter 23. What's going to help us? It's going to be the commandments of God. For the commandment is a lamp and a law of life. The proofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of scriptures. Do not lust after her beauty and their heart. Now let her allow you. With her eyes, the book of the seventh chapter, how is this young man in the seventh chapter going to end up in the wrong house doing the wrong thing? Here's how, look at verse 6. For in the window of my house, I looked for my eyes, I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man, and what was it? Devoid of understanding. He did not know what he was about to get into, and he should have. He should have been aware that if we are going to be vessels of honor, that comes with an expectation of learning what it takes to maintain that vessel of honor. Putting the proper boundaries in our life to protect that vessel of honor. He did not do it. He walked on the wrong streets. He listened to the wrong words. His eyes were attracted to the wrong things. And we see in 22, it was like the ox that goes to the slaughter. And look in 24, as we conclude this. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words in my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all that were slain by her. It is the strong man who passes the way of hell, descending to the chambers of death. If you sit and how do you bring down? Young man at a young age that was not fearful to go before a trained giant with a slingshot in his hand. How do you bring down a man that at a young age began to carry the burden of a nation to the bad rider? If David is leading us, we will win. How do you bring down a man that everyone that can says you're about success and there's envious and jealous of you? You're strong enough to bear his envy and his jealousy. Even if he's pounding for 7 years in caves and Philistines, living like a refugee. He won't kill him. He won't strike back. Listen, we flip through our Bibles and we say, story after story of David, and all we can say is strong, courageous, faithful. You can't bring a man like that by all your shit down. Beautiful woman, David. He falls like a little cloth. And his son said, she brought down many strong men. And then the woman in the morning, in a minute, 1 Kings 11 has been one of those great disappointing chapters in the Bible. Where a man of wisdom, a man
turn to. To turn us back from God to thy gods. And to not be light of God, like the Son, the Father made him again. Have a good message of honor.
Right.
through the storm. He says, you know what, Barry? You know what it's not? You're better for my heart to live and preach the kingdom gospel, not just the facts and the gospel. And so, what it is here, we talk about what was it right, it talks about that it was true, that we have it, and what about honestly, it was found, we don't make a preaching about ourselves. A little passage that was mentioned yesterday, it's a wonderful lesson about the glory of God, verse 6, and whatever we have the knowledge to shine the light of the glory of God, then we're getting ourselves right. That lesson yesterday primed this perfectly to come to that lesson primed perfectly to say, hey, once we are living a life where we can glorify God, what are we ready to do?
So much to prepare them. And then when I find out later, the casual churches are just
bad match in the body. Probably a locker room and change clothes with all of their guys. Can you imagine having to get quiet whenever he took his shirt off? Can you imagine how people would be like, hey, what's up with that guy? All of those broken ribs and grown back straight. All those lumps and knots. He looks like he's been stoned several times. He looks like he's going through some hard times. And Paul says, you better believe. You better believe I'm going through some hard times. And he says, but I'll tell you what. How awesome is this? Don't think about power for a moment. Think about yourself and your own ministry. He says, through all of those times I've been mistreated, my God has never forsaken me. Some days, maybe the best we can give God is to pop up on the elbow. But the next two verses are some of the most challenging verses in the Bible. We don't have time for them, but I'd like for you to know. The one that says, I'm going to carry the breath of the Lord. Anything you carry, you have an option to lay down. And
so I say, I'm making the decision, but now I'm going to carry the breath of the Lord.
Morning. I hope there are for the truth to be told. Think about the book of Acts. Nobody was born to Jesus Christ in the book of Acts unless a person took the news of Jesus Christ and was first modeling that life themselves. And when Christmas Day, you can write that box, and they saw sin, symbol required, and you spend the next 4 hours putting it together. You buy that? Why do you want it? You want instruction? You want some pictures? Set the box up so the sin comes? Get the scratches out.